This evening, turn to Revelation chapter 6. We are in the book of Revelation. So you can study the book of Revelation on your own.
Pastor, why can I go to church?
I can study the book of Revelation on my own. I can tell you that preachers stay away from the book of Revelation. Just so much going on. It's so much to grasp and to comprehend. And I am extremely blessed to have as an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boy. My dad was an itinerant preacher, and so if there was a church without a pastor, he would go months and months and months and help those church fill the pulpit until they found a pastor, and then he would go on to the next place. And so between the ages of 8 and 16, when my dad went to a new church, so there were probably 8 in there, he would do a Bible study. And he would do a Bible study on the book of Revelation. And so about a year, as I got a pastor, I'm really good when it comes to Revelation chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 16. Because I heard it when I was 8, and when I was 9, and when I was 10, and 15, and 16, over and over and over again. And so I am very comfortable in the book because just line upon line, precept upon precept, year after year after year, and I'm very comfortable with book. But that's not because of me. It's just because of my dad and good Bible teaching and sitting there year after year after year. And think, you know, you would get tired of that. Man, I just never get tired of the Word of God and never tired of the book of Revelation. There's just so much there. Last week, we were in chapter 5, the courtroom, the personnel, the power, the magnificence, the majesty of God. The courtroom angel, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And I, John, wept because no one was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And one of the 24 elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy to open. And in that, we say that, and we're familiar with that, and we repeat that. But in that phrase is the identifier. We talked about that last week, how important it is legally for the person, the right person, to look at that evidence and to be able to say, that is mine. I shared with you from a law enforcement perspective, when I sat on the witness stand and I had been at a crime scene and I had collected the evidence and I had stuck it in the envelope and I had folded it over and sealed it up and signed and dated the seal and then covered it with evidence tape. When it came to court, if that had been messed with, if somebody had opened it, if it had been tainted, the case would be thrown out. And so the evidence would be presented in the envelope, and it would be handed to me as I sat on the witness stand, and I had to identify myself, who I was, and I had to identify the envelope and the on the mark. My mark, my signature, the date, the seal, and testify that had not been tampered with. And we see that in Revelation chapter 5. Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the Lion, not just any lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. For he was what? He was crucified. What is that? He had the marks. I do not. You do not. Satan does not, but Jesus Christ has the marks. He has been identified as the person who is able to take the seven-sealed book and to loose the seals thereof. Chapter 6, we have the seals. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. In chapter 6, we have the opening of the seals, the first six. Why? Because the seventh seal is going to introduce the next set of judgments. There's a bait. When it comes to chapter 6, we are definitely in the tribulation period. The opening of this seal starts the tribulation period. People debate. Now we know we're in the church age. We're living right here, right now, and we're walking towards these events. And as we walk towards the events, we are looking for the next event on the prophetic calendar. And what is that? That's the rapture. 2 Thessalonians talks about that. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is the rapture. That is not the second coming. That's an important term. A rapture and the second coming are two totally different terms. They are two totally different events. And if you can grasp that, then when it comes to listening to Bible teachers, people on the internet, they confuse those terms. There's a couple of things. Either they're willfully ignorant, or they're purposely deceptive. So just be careful. There are lots of videos flowing around, and I know everybody loves the videos on and the YouTube stuff on Daniel Revelation. People, they're always sending me stuff. And I get it, and I look at it, and they say, Pastor, did you look at it? I don't have time to look at all the videos, but I looked at it, and I said, this one's got a problem. I say, what's the matter with it? Well, for starters, he refers to the rapture as the second coming. Rapture is when we meet the Lord in the air. Say, preacher, when is the second coming? Well, we got 7 years of tribulation. At the end of 7 years, way over here, Jesus Christ is going to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. That is the second coming. The rapture, he is not coming to the earth. We are meeting the Lord in the
air.
And the air is up. The second coming, he is planting his feet. When was his first coming? Oh, well, that was Bethlehem. And now he's coming again. He planted his feet. In the rapture, he's not doing that. But in the second coming, he is. What is going to usher in the tribulation period? Is the rapture that we're looking for, is that the event that is going to usher in the tribulation period? Now, people debate that. I can tell you, I don't know. I know that the rapture is going to occur before the tribulation period starts. But I cannot stand here and tell you that the very next minute that seal is going to be open. I can't tell you that. I can tell you that there is a battle in Ezekiel 38, 39 that has not taken place yet. And we look forward to that. That is going to take place. And it is very possible that that battle, those two battles, and we've preached about them before from Ezekiel 38 and 39, will be the two battles that allow or cause or make it possible for the Antichrist to step on the scene and say to Israel, I'm going to give you peace. And that peace treaty being signed, the Antichrist is identified, and that is definitely chapter 6, verse 2. The Lamb opened one of the seals. I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. It's interesting, in Revelation chapter 6, the peace treaty with Israel is not mentioned. You say, well, preacher, well, how do we know there's going to be a peace treaty in Israel that is going to be broken in 3.5 years. Well, we know that from the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The Bible talks about midway, at the beginning of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to sign that peace treaty with Israel. Halfway through the tribulation period, he is going to break that peace treaty with Israel. And Israel, the Jewish people, are going to say, he's going to defile the temple. And they're all of a sudden, the blinders are going to come off, and they're going to say, not this is the abomination of desolation as spoken by John in the book of Revelation. They're going to say, this is the abomination of desolation that is spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And that prophecy is found in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, and in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Interesting. In verse 2, the Antichrist is active. And so we know that in verse 2, the tribulation period has started. What precipitated and what caused that, we could speculate. Ezekiel 38, 39, something catastrophic is happening in Israel that sets the stage for the Antichrist to step forward and say, I have the answer. And what is he doing? He is going forth conquering and to conquer. He is not going to be a nice man. He is going to roll over people. There are some that say that Jesus Christ is the rider on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. I would disagree with that. I would say that it is the Antichrist that is coming to conquer, forth conquering and to conquer. To the rider, a crown is given. Now, biblical times, it was customary to give to have the conqueror seated on a white horse with a crown riding through the city. And it's also interesting in chapter 6, verse 2, that the appearing of the Antichrist is synonymous with the opening of the first seal. Now, who opens that seal? Jesus Christ does. He's the Lamb, the previous chapter. He has the ability. He opens that seal. He permits it to go forward, and the tribulation period starts. Tribulation period starts with the opening of the first seal, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, and the appearing of the Antichrist. He is not able to do that until Christ allows it. What is significant to note, and we've pointed this out before, is that the church is missing. The church is gone. Church is in chapter 2, chapter 3. You go into chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And you can put the rapture in there. I don't have a problem with that. But the church is not mentioned again until Revelation chapter 19, as the bride. Now, some debate, when is the marriage supper of the Lamb going to take place? Right at the rapture? I would say no. At the end of Revelation chapter 19 is when that is going to take place. At the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Revelation 6 and Matthew chapter 24 have striking similarities. And so keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 6. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to flop back and forth a little bit. Matthew chapter 24 is probably one of the most misapplied, mispreached from, wrongly interpreted passages of Scripture. A lot of people put the rapture in there, and that we're going through the tribulation based on Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is the Olivet Discourse, and it is the tribulation period. It's written to the Jewish people. But let's just show you some similarities between these two passages of Scripture. Hold your finger in Matthew. Let's read the first two verses again from Revelation. The false Christ, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Come and see verse 2. Again, the rider on the white horse, he that sat on him had a bow, a crown, conquering and to conquer. Now look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Look at verse 23, 24, and 25. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now behold, I have told you before. So there's a false Christ in Matthew chapter 24. There's a false Christ in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Look at verse 3. And he opened, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Talks about war. It is going to be, you think bad now? This is what I say to people. I say, Pastor, things are bad now. I think we're in the tribulation period. This is my reply. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think it's bad now? The events of Revelation are undescribable. Look with me at Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Speaking of that, Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard a third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. We'll talk about verse 6 a little bit more next week. Verse 6 is speaking of, you're going to spend a day's wage for animal food, not people food. You spend a day's wage for one little loaf of what you'd feed to your animals. If you'll let me say, equivalent would be a dog biscuit. And that's the comparison in chapter 6. We're, of course, talking about famine. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, says, there shall be famines. So again, the similarities between Revelation chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 24 are striking. Death is a part of Revelation and the seals. These seals, as they're loose, chapter 6, verse 7 is the fourth seal. And verse 7 says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with beasts of the earth. I'll just stop here and say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to flee the wrath to come. If I was an unbeliever, and you told me, you took me to Revelation chapter 6 and said, Revelation chapter 6, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to be left behind, and all these things are going to happen to you. It can be death and famine and pestilence. It can be nations fighting. The hand of Christ is going to be revealed. and you're going to be eating dog food? You're going to work a whole day for one little piece of dog food? Excuse me, sir? Is there a way to avoid this? Yeah, trust Christ. Yeah, absolutely, trust Christ. You're going to be part of the rapture, the catching up, 2 Thessalonians. Death. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation. There will be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Talking of the Jewish people. Martyrdom. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And of course, we read from Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 9, they shall deliver you, shall be afflicted. Look at verse 10, and many shall be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Look at verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning. You think the first 3.5 years are bad? Wait till you hit the midway point. Wait till the Antichrist defiles the temple and breaks that peace treaty. And the second 3.5 years are absolutely brutally astounding. Now the sun will be darkened, the moon will be darkened, the stars are falling. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Say, what is it? What can an 8-year-old possibly process about the book of Revelation? I can tell you, after my dad was preaching this stuff, we'd be in the car and I'd be looking out the window, and that moon looked awfully red to me. And I'm just thinking, Dad, talk about a red moon. That looked like a red moon to me. It was something I missed out on. I'll tell you what, as an 8, 9, 10-year-old child, that absolutely had my attention because I was smart enough to realize I did not want to be left behind. I did not want to be in this mess. I did not. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Again, striking similarities between Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation chapter 6. And it is a time of divine judgment. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. There's some government secret hiding places where all the rich and powerful people go. You and I won't be there. Well, if you know Christ your Savior, you'll be in heaven. But the average person, he's not getting into the bomb shelter. But I'll just tell you, they're not going to be safe there. That's where they're going to flee to. They've got a plan. They got a plan how to get there. They're just not going to be safe there. And they're going to say, verse 16, said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. But notice what they're not saying. Give us salvation. Hide us from him. For the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer is no one will be able to stand. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 through the end of the chapter, and for time we'll not read the whole thing, but you should. And verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye shall know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So somebody gave me one of those revelation messages to listen to, and I'm listening to this guy, and he says, Matthew chapter 24, this is these events have already taken place.
No, they haven't. No, they haven't. They haven't taken place. They will, but they haven't yet. And again, as I listen to that, being confident and knowing the book, the minute that guy said that, I said, this guy's wrong on this. He's probably wrong on a lot of other stuff. And just be careful and listen with a discerning eye, a discerning ear. A lot of bad things going on. I get it, in the world. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, 59-year-old guy went up to the ATM machine, and he noticed that there was, let me see what time it was, 10:30 at night. Listen, there's no financial traction that is a transaction that you need to do at 10:30 at night. Just wait till tomorrow when the bank is open. Just a little word from the preacher. Let me say that. So this guy, 59 years of age, you think he'd have some smarts. He goes to the ATM at 10:30 at night. Dum, dum, dum. And he noticed behind him that there is a man lurking. And he continues with the transaction. And when the little machine gives him the money, the man relieves him of it. And what does he use for a weapon? He uses a screwdriver. You say, what damage can you do with a screwdriver? You just come and I'll show you. And we can drive that through brick and block, can't we, Caitlin? Yeah. And you're a little bit more tender than that. He stabbed him several times. I understand they're bad news reports, but man, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing yet compared to what is going to happen on this day. Why do you say that? Because the news report, the things going on today, this is not tribulation period, but it should warn us to flee the wrath to come. We as Christians, believers, ought to be able to say, you think that's bad? Wait till this unfolds. Wait till the Lamb takes and opens the first seal, and the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one. Run for your life. Flee the wrath to come. It should cause us to point people to Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 talks about the noise of thunder. Thunder is symbolic. What is this symbolic of? Coming storm. I have raised in the tornado alley, and we watch the sky. You can see it coming. You can see the clouds rolling over in the sky, flat. You could see the sheets of rain coming your way. You could look and you could say, 15 minutes, it's going to be raining here. I mean, you didn't need the weatherman to say that. You could see the sheets of rain coming. You could see the clouds as they rolled over. And you were scanning the sky, looking for tornadoes. We had a storm cellar. It was four steps down into the ground. The door on the storm cellar was this thick, solid wood. And we go in there and seal it up and get in there and hide until the storm passed. When I hear thunder, I still look to the sky. Well, we don't have a lot of tornadoes around here, but it says a storm is coming. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, there's a storm coming. You better be running for shelter. Again, that should cause us to say, flee the wrath to come. Take cover. We didn't do earthquake drills. They do earthquake drills out in California. We did tornado drills. We go out into the hallway. We sit down. We sit. We would sit Indian style back in the day. You can't sit Indian style anymore. You sit pretzel style today. We'd get in the hallway, and you put your hand over your head. I just tell you, if a steel beam's coming down, your little hand on the back of your neck is probably not going to do a lot of protection. But we did it dutifully. That's what we were taught to do. I just say, flee the wrath to come.
Don't go in the hallway and sit down, pretzel style, and put your hand over your head and pray that the wrath of the Lamb doesn't fall on you. Avoid that altogether. Take cover. Storm is coming. There are dark clouds on the horizon. Devastation and destruction are going to be the norm. The events of chapter 6 are in chronological sequence. That's the way they're going to fall down, in that order, chronologically. There are those that take a historical approach as opposed to a prophetic approach. Again, they'll say the rider is the Antichrist, but it is, or they'll say that the rider is Jesus Christ as opposed to the Antichrist. Get your Bible and look and see what is unfolding and understand that these events have not taken place. They will. Seven seals. We talked about that last week. Seven seals are consistent with Roman government. They understood that legal matters pertaining to life had to be sealed with seven seals. And so a person in the first century reading this from John would say, oh yeah, yeah, we're familiar with the seven seal thing. This is an important document. Only the person who is authorized can open that seven sealed book, and that is Jesus Christ. And what is that? That is a comprehensive program of the wrath of the Lamb. The seven seals, it's legal. It is going to be opened. It is going to be unleashed. And you'd be foolish to think that you are going to survive without Christ. Flee the wrath to come. Be discerning. Rapture, here. Second coming, here. Listen, as you hear people on the internet start to talk about that, don't let them confuse you. And if you're listening to someone and they'll say, now, the rapture is the second coming of Jesus Christ, just turn them off. They don't know what they're talking about. They've already confused the terms. Again, they're either willfully ignorant or they're purposefully deceptive. And you just should be discerning. But revelation is not given to us to satisfy our curiosity. God let us see into that terrible time so that we could warn others to flee the wrath to come. Amen. Are you doing that? Are you active in warning others to flee the wrath to come? Who have you shared with today about the gospel of Jesus Christ? To whom did you pass out a gospel tract today to say, flee the wrath to come? What will you do tomorrow? Say, I messed up today. Tomorrow's a new day. There are people that need to know to flee the wrath to come. And that is our task. Father, help us to be faithful, to warn others to flee the wrath to come. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we ought to be persuading men. Help us to do it, we pray. Walk out of the room tonight. Grab a gospel tract and purpose that tomorrow we're going to warn one person to flee the wrath to come. And we'll thank you for your salvation, and they'll thank us for the warning received. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.